Hey, welcome to the Killer Frogs, the podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and this is episode 203 for Tuesday, November 21st of 2023. And on tonight's podcast, it's a cigar cast. We've got Shannon Brazil in the house. How you doing, Shannon?
I'm doing good, Sean. I'm doing good, man. I am excited that we beat the Bears. I do not like them. That's not a secret. I don't care what. I don't care how sorry they are. They suck to me 24/7. They could be 12-0. They would always suck. But I'm doing good. Being that we just need to go to Oklahoma and win one game, be bowl eligible, give these kids a little bit more time to play together. Maybe they can gel going into next season.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. And, you know, Frogs come off of a pretty impressive win against Baylor at home to close out the home season at TCU. And, of course, we've got one last game. It's Friday after Thanksgiving. We'll get to the Oklahoma game a little bit later on in the podcast, but we definitely want to get started with the Baylor game. But before we do, Shannon, tell the folks, man, what are you smoking tonight?
I'm smoking an acid tonight, and I hate the name of it because that's not as sexy because I don't, you know, anyway, but it's good. I like the brand. It's a clover-based cigar, and it's a box cigar. It's one of my favorites, so I love that we're doing it old school tonight because now I can get back to smoking my cigars because that rah-rah or whatever, I can't smoke my cigars.
Yeah, one of these days we'll have to have a live podcast at one of the cigar shops that have asked us to kind of
do a podcast. We're going to make that happen. So we will make that happen
maybe next season. And for anyone keeping the score, I've got a La Roma de Cuba and their Mia Moore. And it's going to be a good night. And, of course, we're kind of celebrating a Frog win over Baylor. And, Shannon, this was a game going into it. I think a lot of Frog fans were a little, I don't know, anxious about because we didn't quite know exactly which team was going to show up. And I know last week you weren't able to join us on the podcast, but the predictions for the most part, we're going to be a close one-score game. We had a couple of predictions. I think even Jack said that we were going to be about 7, maybe 10 points up on Baylor. I'll take a little credit. I was the only one that had us over 30 points. I had it 35-9. And thankfully, we were able to score over 40, winning 42-17.
I would have been in that ballpark. I would have guessed a high scoring because, I mean, the way that game set up for us. We had nothing to lose besides just go out and play hard. It's that time of season, man. The good part about it, and I don't know, people don't want to hear the good part about it, but once you know your season, your goals that you've accomplished for the, you know, beginning of the year are null and void. I mean, now you just play for pride. So for me, and that's what I was saying, I think 2 weeks ago, I just want to see what they're made of. Like, who's going to show up? Who's going to play? You know, are they going to gel and not point the finger? You all, this time of year, you try to see what kind of team you have. Because now they're still one game away from making the bowl game. So for me, I would have had them blown out Baylor myself, you know, that week. So I look like they came through.
Well, let's start off on the defensive side of the ball, because I know you've been itching to really kind of take apart this 3-3-5 all season long. And I mentioned last week in the podcast that this defense seems to take about a quarter and a half or so to kind of finally find their bearing against whatever team they're facing off against, which is unfortunate because that puts the offense in a pretty precarious situation, given the fact that we've got a freshman quarterback and several injuries, and the line hasn't necessarily been up to what we like to call par this season. And so we keep having to play from behind. The Texas game was a really good example of that. But on Saturday, the defense, and of course, it is Baylor, and Baylor is probably one of the worst teams in the Big 12 this season, but it did again take about a quarter and a half for the defense to finally find their bearings. What are you seeing right now in the defense that they need to address immediately?
Well, I don't know if they have time to really address it immediately because, like I've always said, I'm still not a fan, okay? Now, did they play great defense Saturday? They played better. It took them a while, like you said. They end up running around. The linebacker they were flying around making big plays. So it was fun to watch once they got in their groove. But it did take them a while. And if Baylor, I mean, you got to take these games and look at them for what they are. If Baylor is 500, if Baylor has maybe 5 or 6 wins right now, we're talking about a different ball game. Let's just be honest. Baylor's just not that good of a team. That's not taking any way thing from TCU. They're supposed to handle Baylor like they did. That's a given. I would have said that at the beginning of the year. because Baylor's just not a good team. Now, do we know what can happen in rivals? Of course. But I'm just, when you're at home and you're, you know, we have the talent that we have, we're supposed to dominate Baylor. So they did well. I love the way they played. Not take they flow. It took them a while, but once they start flowing, they were, I mean, they were hard to stop. Nobody, you know, when they play like that, it's hard to beat that defense. My only issue is how long, you know, can they, that defense has to play for it. Like, okay, and we'll get to Oklahoma, but the way they play, the lackadaisical taking time to get going, you can't do that in Norman. It'd be too late. So, especially with our offensive situation. So that's what I'm saying. And the weather helps too, because now it's not hot. They're rotating guys. So all that played a factor. And so again, they defense plays solid. Again, I'm
Well,
not a fan of the
why do you think it's taking them a quarter or so to kind of get going against these offenses?
And that's what baffles me, because I've been a part, well, again, different situation there. I was going to say, I've been a part of Gary Patterson's defense. I've been a part of defenses in court where you know the game plan. So when you know the game plan and you have the talent, you can, and nobody can tell me any different. You can see plays coming. Like, you can see what's about to unfold in front of your eyes. You can see when a screen's about to happen because you watch so much film and you went through it all week. You know what's about to happen. And so that's the difference between, and I guess I'm, you know, number one defense in the country, number two defense in the country. I've been on those teams, total defense in the country, where everybody knew what they're supposed to do and they did their job. So maybe that's it, or maybe they're not watching as much. I don't know, because between the, we have the talent, and if they're studying, if they know what they know, I don't see that super. I don't see that happening on the football field. I don't see the studying. I don't see the, you know, we know what we're doing. We like, why do you have to figure it out? And I'm just mind boggled. That's why I can't get my words together, because I don't understand. I don't know that world. I don't know why they are not getting it together. It's
Well,
crazy to
do
me.
you think that maybe it's an unfair comparison to compare Gillespie to Coach Patterson from a defensive standpoint? Maybe
Probably so.
that's probably part of the equation here.
Probably so. And again, that just shows you how great Gary is, because at the end of the day, and I'm not taking anything away from coach, it's just, it starts there though, right? It starts with his knowledge, putting his defense in the best situations. And that's again why I don't like the 55, because it seems like it's his defense. His players have got to be in the right spot at the right time. That's not happening. So to me, that's a coach's, and we've saw so many blown plays that we're like, what? He's wide open. Like, what is that? Somebody's off no, between the coaches and the players are off. They're not on the same accord. They're not on the same page. And we've seen that week after week after week. And that to me is mind-boggling. That to me is kind of like, okay, I don't get that. Because I've been there, I've done that with a bunch of guys. And either you're young and you're not getting it, which I'm not gonna use that excuse. Because you shouldn't be in there, or there's just people that we're not getting it some kind of way. We're off. Like, we're not on the same page. The defensive players and the coaches. Because if you guys have been watching defense all day, you've seen a blown play or two in multiple games where you say, now that's film. Like, come on, how do you miss that? That's communication, but that's film.
Yeah, and there were a couple last week, and fortunately for us, were drop balls. There were a couple that were put right on the hands of the receivers in stride that would have been for six if they had been caught cleanly. And both of those happened to be, on the secondary. Now, you talked about linebackers running around. Were you encouraged by the play by number zero Banks last week
Banks
on
was
Saturday?
balling. That's what I'm talking about, per se. Banks balled. I love that kid. I love his heart. I love his speed. Some of the angles where the running back or the quarterback had an angle on him, and he outran him to the angle to make big time plays. So he was all over the field. That's what I was really talking about. You know, when I mentioned linebackers earlier, as a whole, they played good. But I'm telling you, Mr. Banks is the man. And I just wish he was freed up. Just think about this. Think about if we were in a 4-2-5, or at least just think about if you had four front cover him up, where he could just run free. Think about that,
Right.
because he's always got to take somebody on, whatever the case may be, just to get to the ball. Just think about if you freed him up just a little bit more, the guy would be the leading tackler on the field. versus the
Well,
safeties or
and
the
we saw a
secondary.
little bit of that on Saturday. We saw that at BYU, where
Yeah.
Gillespie brought up a fourth rusher and allowed Banks to kind of run and be able to plug those holes or run guys down on the edge. And I think that played a huge role in what we were able to do to bottle up
Excuse
both,
me.
again, Baylor and BYU.
But to me, he runs it as if it's a blitz. He does it for one or two
Right.
plays and then he goes off of it. He lays off. So it's like, come on, man. You saw it work. You just saw what you saw. It works. And it may not, you may not have got a sack or something, but the quarterback got boggled or a tackle for loss or something like that. It worked. And then it just goes away. Then he goes right back to it. So he runs that four down lineman set sometimes like it's a blitz. I don't get it.
Yeah, it was a little bizarre seeing that against Texas because it was working all second half against Texas and
Yeah.
did a great job. And when he went away from it, that's when Texas was actually able to make some big plays. And it's frustrating to see that. So I don't know if Gillespie needs to reevaluate the 3-3-5, if he needs better personnel on the 3-3-5 to get that to work, or if he needs to kind of go to a hybrid, 4-2-5 kind of a situation like he has been doing over the last couple of weeks. But I liked it.
Yeah.
Like you said, I like it when Banks gets free because that kid goes everywhere on the field. He is a ball hawk.
Well, I think it's more to your point. I think Sonny's going to have to, I mean, obviously, if that he's a defensive coordinator, he believes in that now. Sometimes our pride gets in the way as coaches and as people, and he may believe in it. He may just believe he don't have the talent, or he may just get a little bit more depth in those positions. But Sonny's going to have to maybe say, hey, we need to reevaluate what we're running, because at the end of the day, with these offenses in the Big 12, with the teams that are coming in, that's not going to work. You're going to have to put pressure on the quarterback. You cannot have a quarterback standing back there in the Big 12 all day long. I don't care who they are. That they will eat us up down as you, and like you said, those receivers, when you have speed on the edges, which you do have in the Big 12, somebody, if not every team, has one to two guys that can burn. And usually they're faster than our cornerback. Because if you saw a couple free releases, they ran right past our cornerbacks, and the quarterback just didn't, maybe they bobbled it or whatever, but the play was on them. They messed up the play. It wasn't because our corner caused any kind of friction whatsoever. It was on them. They dropped the ball. They made a mistake. So we're going to have to put more pressure to throw the timing off with our front.
Right. Well, and one of the problems that I've had, and I've seen this all year long, and I don't know, maybe you can kind of fill in some of the blanks here. Maybe it's because the corners seem to be a little young, inexperienced, whatever the case may be. Maybe they're just not having good practices. But this constant 10-yard cushion that the corners are given the wide receivers, and you talked about, you have to throw off that rhythm. When you allow the wide receiver to run his route cleanly, because you're given 10 yards off the line every single snap, that's a major flaw from my perspective of this particular defense. Because unless you get that pressure on the quarterback and he's got time to be able to throw, he knows where guys are going to be because you're not disrupting those routes.
Well, my problem is when you're deep and you're getting beat, when you see the man getting ready to make a stutter move and then take off, because now you put your butt to the sideline where you could see the cornerback and you could see the quarterback, right? Now, and you can literally backpedal. And my problem is I see guys standing flat-footed. So until the guy gets up on them, then they take off. Well, you're flat-footed, you're not going to catch up. You're not. You have to backpedal. As we used to call it, throw your knee and drive and now go with him, because you got 10 yards on him already. But they're not doing that. And so when you're getting beat playing that deep off the ball, that's to me, that's again, that's a problem. Call it what you want. And then that's also a DC putting them in a better situation, because they may be young, because they may not be as fast as who they're guarding, whatever the case may be. But a dog cornerback, he's pressing. A dog. When you see somebody up in somebody's face, and I don't care what it is, we're in a fake one-on-one, I'm gonna boom boom, and I'm gonna make you work to get off this line. That's a dog. When you see these guys 10 yards back, they're inexperienced, or we have a problem. Houston, we have a problem.
Yeah, and that seems to be the MO of this particular secondary. The safeties still need a lot of work. I was really kind of disappointed seeing the drop off in the safety play year over year. Last year I felt that it wasn't perfect, but I think the safeties have did a really good job. But then again, I think up until the Texas game, I think a safety was our number one tackler this year,
Yes.
which again tells you that, you're not getting good pressure up front. The linebackers aren't plugging the holes like they need to. They're not seeing what needs to be done. You're allowing guys to get into that second level, and you're hoping that the safeties are able to actually make a play. But when it comes to the passing game, the safeties seem to have a bit of an issue covering guys, because when they get into that second level, past the cornerback, there's nobody back there to help them out, and we have to hope for a drop or a bad pass in order to kind of make things happen.
Right. No, you're right. And so just there's too many holes right now. Because you think about if you see the history, and I know there's been personnel change, so it's hard for me to keep flipping back, but we've always had safeties on lock, linebackers on lock. Like between the two, we're talking first, third round every year. You know what I mean? And so when your safety is leading in tackles or your secondary, that just lets you know right there that, we don't have as much pressure up front. And with the 3-3, you're not asking those guys, especially the three, they're just there to take up, they're not going to get make very many tackles. But again, you have to have some dogs up there. Like it's got to be hard to double team one of them, if not all three. That's the point of the 3-3. I mean, you see, I know this is hard to compare, but Aaron Donald, they double team him all day, but he's a short, stocky dog. We have a couple of those type of players that build, and they get he's getting through double team. So you gotta have that. You got to. And if you're not getting pressure, like I've said that all year long, then you're gonna have a long season. It's just inevitable. It's gonna happen because you're giving them too much time to find the open holes. And that's what's happened most of the year.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because I think there is talent on this team, but I think the scheme itself is not exactly working in their favor. Or at least it's not playing to their strengths. And
Right, I
that's
agree.
and whenever the adjustments come, again, quarter and a half in, once the adjustments actually make it there and actually help them out, by then sometimes it's a little too late because the offense has been playing catch up, and it doesn't bode well, especially with the defense having to stay on the field as long as they have in a lot of the first and second quarters this season.
Right, I'm with you. I'm with you. Good points. Solid
So
points, brother.
let's switch gears and talk about offense for a moment. So, I think the Josh Hoover era here in TCU so far, I think a lot of fans are happy with what they've seen. And it continued again on Saturday. Hoover just absolutely dominated the stat line.
Oh, my goodness.
Had 90% completion rating, over 400 yards in the air, two touchdowns. One actually got to run. So he got one touchdown on the ground off of three rushes and had a quarterback rating of over 220. I mean, this was an unbelievable performance. And again, just like in the Texas game where we saw Zavion Williams go off, this time it was Wiley and Hoover and Williams and Hoover. And with those guys getting confidence with Hoover under center, I wish it had happened sooner, but I gotta think this is a pretty good prediction of what we can hope to see, at least against Oklahoma.
Well, I'll be honest with you. Just and you're right. I'm a fan. I've become a fan. I like his heart. I like what he's doing. It will be so great if he can go in Oklahoma and get this game. You talk about a confidence builder. Then you go into a bowl game. You have a little bit more time to get him prepared for those games or for that game. Now you get to work with him for a couple of weeks, whatever the case may be. But it's amazing to see the receivers and everybody gel around him. The running backs. I mean, we got people beat up on offense and all those kind of things. We're not perfect, but to see the effort and to see the will and to see some of these guys, the receivers, the way they're trying to catch every single ball for this guy, and then to see his legs. I mean, his confidence is, I mean, he's got it, man. And that's all you need in this league. If you have confidence and you feel comfortable that you can win the game, which he does, you could see it in his play. It makes it that much easier for him and makes that easier for the team to gel around that and definitely for us to watch it because we're seeing, good enough football right now. Obviously, they played a great team, not a great team, but a great game on Saturday for the most part to me. And now we can take that in Oklahoma, and we'll get to that. But Oklahoma's beatable. I'll be honest with you. I have us winning this game because I don't like Oklahoma. Just on the real side of things, if we go play a little bit better than we played last week, you know, because Oklahoma, you know, again, they're at home, but they're beatable. They've shown you that. They've played that way all year. We can win this game.
Yeah, well, in the last couple of weeks, even going back to the Texas Tech game, you know, first half was a pretty decent game, and that was a game that should have been won, absolutely should have been won. And Hoover took it on himself, and he said, "Look, I shouldn't have thrown that pass that was intercepted, and that's what cost him the game." And I like seeing the young man do that, but see his performance against Texas, the connection that he's making with Williams, and then seeing that progress to the Baylor game. And again, Baylor, it's Baylor, but to see his accuracy, to see, like you said, the guys catching the balls. I mean, he's throwing balls in stride, hitting guys in their hands. He had a couple of drops that weren't bad passes. They're just bad drops. And in those guys between, you know, Richardson and, like I said, Wiley, they are getting open for him, and he's going through his progression. One thing, though, that I was finally glad to see on Saturday was they finally allowed him to run the ball. And we haven't seen that since the very first game he comes in. He comes in the very first game and he takes off, goes down the sideline, looks like Max Duggan, and takes on a defensive back on the sideline. And
Oh
everyone
yeah.
was
Oh
like,
yeah.
"Ooh, that was looking great." And
That was
so it was
exciting.
one of those kind of, yeah, it was really exciting. And then from that point on, he didn't take off at all. And you immediately knew, the coaches told him, "Don't ever do that again," because we don't have a third
We
string
don't have
quarterback
any.
at that time.
We
Right.
don't. Right.
But we saw Morris come in and, you know, at the, in that one series at the end of Saturday. So you got to think, finally, they feel comfortable enough to allow him to run. But if they would have just forgotten the risk, right? Just get rid of, it's football. Right, you got to play.
Take the
Putting
leash
that
off of them.
dimension, yeah, you putting that dimension in the offense totally changes the game, especially going into last week. You got to think the defensive coordinator for Oklahoma is now thinking, "Well,
Right.
darn it."
Yes. Yes. So, to your point, I was going to say that now you have to respect his feet. So now he can throw the ball, man. That guy, and I'll be honest, I saw a couple, you know, Brett Favre, Patrick Mahomes type throws. If you watch it real carefully, some of his angles, the way he's letting that ball go. That lets me know he's getting comfortable. He's getting the ball out as you know, the way he knows how to, or in the situation. He's not thinking about it. He's just releasing it and playing football. And that's why I said you gotta take the chain off. When you take the chain off a dog, he's gonna fight. You know what I'm saying? So for us, I do get it. We don't have much of a backup right now. So you have to remind him, listen, get your yards and get down. But to see a quarterback take off one of them, cover the ball up and try to truck somebody. I love that. That's kind of that's you know that's just my style of football. But you have to be smart. You know, and I thought about that when he ran. I'm like, man, I love that. Man, he's got to be smart. But it's okay. He's out there to play. That's what I'm saying. He's playing football. He's playing to win.
Well, I mean,
And if he's got to give up his
go
body,
back
he's
to
got to
some of
give
the
it up.
guys you played with, Shannon. I mean, when we were running triple options and stuff like that, dude, those quarterbacks, they were built like linebackers, man. They would take on defensive backs all day long, and it was great to see.
They didn't have much of, they didn't have many, they didn't have really good arms, but they could run the ball. They could run that option. They could take a pounding, but we are definitely not throwing it all over
Yeah,
the field. Especially not
no. I
when
mean,
we don't
if
have
we did
enough
have
D back
a
there.
pass over 20 yards, it was a miracle sometimes, in some of those games in the late 90s. But man, it was nice to see Hoover finally take off. He had three rushes. Actually, ended up being this was unfortunate, but ended up being our second highest rusher of the game. But it was
Nothing wrong
good
with
to
that.
see him do that, and it was good to kind of see. And Baylor again, you saw what the defense was told to prepare for this game, because they weren't ready for that at all. Nobody was looking at
No.
him. Nobody was spying him. It was there, and it was there all game long against Texas. And it was something that up in the press box we were yelling at. It's like, just let him, you know, naked bootleg, do something. You know, let him actually to run the ball, and we could score, especially in the red zone. And of course, again on Saturday, red zone offense up until that point was a problem. TCU didn't have a single punt in this game. but ended up turning over the ball on downs three times, twice with Hoover, and then once, of course, the with the last series with Chandler Morris. But the minute he took off, that changed everything for the red zone. And one of the interesting parts that happened on Saturday was TCU gets down into the red zone and is struggling on first down. Second down gets called for an offensive pass interference that actually moves them out of the red zone, and two plays later they're able to score. So
Right. Just help us
that was
out.
a funny line. Yeah, it was a funny line, especially on Twitter. If you were following along on Twitter on the board, everybody was like, okay, well, there it is. That's the solution to the red zone offense. If you get into the red zone, commit an offensive penalty, move out of the red zone, and then we're able to score.
Well, sometimes, man, people don't realize how hard it is unless you have a dominant offensive line and a dominant run game, which we really don't. We
We
have
have got
some
a great
running backs
running
that
back, but
we've
the
got a
line is
great
certainly
running
the
back.
problem.
Great. And so, it's easy to go down there for most teams and you're inside the 20, and you let's pound it for, three, four straight plays. We'll take our chances, just get it in there. But when you have, when you're a passing team and you're running the spread and all that, it's hard to get in those situations, man. When you have less field, it's hard to score. I mean, it's just, you see that in the NFL, you see that all around the league. It's just, sometimes you just need that extra 20 yards, 15 yards, to make a quick pass or hit, back of the end zone type of play or a slant route, something like that, rub route, or you just got to run it in. So just depends on, man, what the defense is giving you. And again, plays like that sometimes just works in your favor because you have a little bit more yards to play with, a little bit more grass.
Well, talk a little bit. When you were on playing defense and you're a linebacker and you're playing against a team that does not have a mobile quarterback at all, and obviously an offensive line that's struggling, obviously that plays to y'all's strengths, right? Because you guys can tee off
Yep,
and not have to worry
we're
about it.
teeing off.
But now that Hoover has shown, by the way, I can run, I do have legs, I can move, and was very mobile, that's got to totally change the dynamic of goal line defense for this
Yes.
game against Oklahoma.
Yes, because now you have to. When you get down there and you got a bunch of dogs, like, okay, we're going, everything what we do is straight ahead, right? If you look at the DNs, they're coming, I mean, they're pinching, they're coming upfield hard, more of an angle versus upfield, because when you're in goal line, if you come upfield and you run a full back, you run out, depending on the run play, you run the C gap, B gap. If you have leading blockers, be it a tight end who can seal the edge or somebody can seal the edge, there's a hole there. So most of those tight ends, they're going to pinch. They're going to come down hard. Well, now you got a bootleg option because now your receiver is kind of taking out the receiver, and that's an easy score by a quarterback or tight end, depending, or screen play. Those type of plays where you see misdirection, dump back to the other side type of deal. That's because when you're in a defense and you're trying to pin your ears back to come make the play, a lot of times you're forgetting about the boot. You're forgetting about the tight end who's going to block and then release right there, which is your safety or linebacker type of deal. So just that whole chess, matchup when you're down on the goal line to call the perfect play, knowing that if a defense is about to pit, they're coming. All right, so this is what we're going to do. So that's what we have to do better job at, because people do think our offensive line, they can get through there, which, for the most part, I understand that. But now you have to say, okay, they're coming. Let's bootleg. Let's throw a freaking jump pass over the middle to the tight end, something like that. So, that's all about scheme.
All right, so what do you think TCU needs to do to win this game in Oklahoma on Friday?
First thing we have to do, and I know this is going to sound so contradicting, but we've got to put pressure on this quarterback. Like, we
Yeah.
have to make him uncomfortable. If we make this quarterback uncomfortable, he's a good quarterback, meaning he can scramble, he makes plays happen. He's not going to sit back there and just blaze it up. He makes things happen once he has pressure on him and scrambles and this and that. We've got to contain him. We got to put pressure on him. We can't allow him to bomb us down the field and hit the open gap. This is the type of quarterback they're going to study the gaps. They're going to say, okay, the 3-3-5. Here's what we have. They're going to look at the wide film. They're going to see all these holes, and that's what he's going to attack this week. And so, if we, from a defensive standpoint, if we put pressure on those guys and we make the quarterback uncomfortable, if you will, all game long, We have a great opportunity. From the offensive side, we just need to milk the clock. We've got to find a running game and running down their throats. We've got to find a way to really have time, be let time be on our side for the game. We have to even play this to the fourth quarter and really now maybe open it up for points, whatever we have to do. But we've got to keep it tight as long as we can, because as we know, if we let the gates open, it's over. You know what I mean? So from what I know about my team and from what I know about them, seeing them play, they're very beatable. They're not Oklahoma of old by any means. They
No.
can meet when I say that, it's hard to beat them in Oklahoma, but you can beat them in Oklahoma now. Today, you can beat them there. So I think I got us winning this game if we do certain things and we're on one accord. I'm hoping and praying that because the guys know if we win this one, we're eligible for a bowl. You don't want to be seniors and you go out this way from a national title game to now making a bowl. So I'm hoping all that plays a factor. I hope that's what they're playing for, because that's all we're really playing for is a bowl game this week. Like, that's it. Forget the pyramid. Forget all the goal. Everything we set out beginning, new season, one game. This is it. This is our playoff. This is our playoff.
Right. Yeah. Well, you got to leave it all on the field in this game. I
You
mean,
got to
there's no,
everything.
you can't assess risk. You can't worry about backups. You can't worry about any of that kind of stuff. Depth. You got to play 100% across the board. And with Dillon Gabriel going out of the game on Saturday for Oklahoma with an undisclosed injury, and later, we're recording this on Monday night, and there's still no update as far as his situation and whether or not he's going to be able to play on Friday on a short week. The last kind of rumors that we heard was that he was going through concussion protocol, but we don't know if there's any additional injury other than that. So there's a chance that TC is going to see a backup quarterback, which of course there's no film that we have right now on him. So it's going to be interesting to see how the defense is going to be able to prepare for this game, especially in a short week.
Yeah, that's true. And again, Oklahoma's loaded. I mean, they're going to have players. They're deeper than we are. They're obviously going to the SEC, and so they have players. And so now, for us, for this game, now they've if this was an SEC game, next week, would they be down in hell? No, they wouldn't be ready, because I mean that's a whole nother level. But for us, we just have to worry about us. We can't even worry about who they play, who they step up. We have to worry about not letting. We have to put pressure on the corners of the receivers outside to not let them run scot-free, because if they're going to run scot-free with the pressure we have not been able to get on the quarterback, it's just going to be a 1-2-3, boom. We're going to let it fly. Those guys can run. They've always had fast receivers. So we just have to play defense. The coordinator is going to have to call a wonderful game. He's got to put our players in the best positions possible so they can ball out. They've got to have a comfortable game plan so the guys can play loose and play football.
Well, I certainly hope Banks plays loose on Friday, because what I
Oh
saw
my
out of that
God.
man on Saturday was
Oh my
awesome.
God.
And he is starting to come into his own. I mean, we saw a bit of it last year, in the run up to the national championship game. There were several times where Banks was impressive, a couple of glimpses here and there. But the last, I'd say about 4 or 5 weeks, going back all the way to like the BYU game, you start to kind of see what he's able to do, especially after Hodges has gone out. He's really started to kind of take things over at that position, and he's flying around the field. He's going to have to do that again, and he's going to have to be that anchor for that linebacker core on Friday, because this offensive line for Oklahoma, while they are beatable, it is a stout offensive line. I don't see our three-man front getting much pressure at all. So we're going to hopefully Gillespie does put that fourth guy up on the line, allows his linebackers to fly around and get those good angles. But we're going to have to trust the secondary like no other in this game, especially if Gabriel comes back and he's ready to play on Friday.
Well, to your point, and we hadn't spoke about this much this year because, I mean, you just really can't pick out a leader. We hadn't talked about leadership. But Banks right now is our leader on defense. He is the leader going into this one-game playoff. So he's going to have to – they're going to have to allow him to play free. They're going to have to get allow him to not get touched and blocked and teed off on, because he's going to be the guy, if Gabriel plays, he likes to scramble, to really contain him and go after him and put some on him. And if he can get a couple hits on him, the way he plays – That guy coming off of whatever concussion protocol, he's gonna put him back in concussed situation, because when he comes, he's a punch. He's all muscle, and that guy can play football. I love his style of play. He can hustle. I believe they said he runs like a 4.5, maybe even a 4.4. He's fast and he's
Oh,
big.
yeah.
So you've got to utilize that in the box and let him allow him to play free and make some big time plays for you.
Yeah, there were a couple of plays on Saturday. I was just really impressed with that speed. And one was there was a pass coming out of the backfield, and the running back, I think, caught it 2 yards past the line of scrimmage, and Banks blew him up for just a 4 yard gain. And to have that speed on the edge against that running back that Baylor has, that just goes to show just how fast he is when he gets loose like that.
I mean, that's the thing. They've got to play free. They've got to play like this game is everything to them. I really believe the guys will step up for the seniors and play because it's do or die. I mean, basically, you play, you win, you advance. You don't. It's a let's just call it what it is. It's a wasted season. It's a lost season because I don't know the statistic of teams that go from a national title to not even going to a bowl game, but it's that's not a good look.
Yeah, I
But
think
we,
the last
I,
time that happened in the Big 12 was Texas. I
yes,
think Texas went
exactly
from
right.
national
Texas is
champion
exactly
to
what.
not
That's
making the
it.
bowl the next time. Yeah.
That's true.
In the
That's
Big
true.
12. I mean, I think Clemson did it as well, and there are a couple others that have done that, but I think in the Big 12, I think Texas is the only other one
And
that's done
I
that.
want to say this, we did lose a lot of guys. We lost, I mean, what is
Oh,
it,
no doubt.
10, 12 guys in the NFL that have really meant a lot to this team. And so it's hard to rebuild. But again, I go back to that, I thought we had depth. I thought we were recruiting at a level, especially with the NIL and the transfer portal. I thought we had that depth, and it's a proven fact that we do not. And so hopefully we can get that corrected. And so that's part of the game. That's part of, football. So, I will, and I have to, we all do take that in consideration and not, as we look at the season and how things have unfolded, when you lose that many guys in the NFL or, period, that were meaningful to your season prior, it makes a big difference. So basically, we need to reload, and we got to get some of these guys to grow up. And again, it's important to win this game to get to a bowl, because now you get extra practices, you get all your young guys more practices, you get some guys coming in. And so bowl games, that's the plus about bowl games. You get that extra time to gel and to really get, create a little bit more chemistry between the guys, because now it's holiday time, and those are special moments. I've been in them 3 times at TCU, and trust me, you will always remember those moments for a lifetime, and it means a lot. So bowl games is they're very important, even though there's a lot more nowadays, and it seems like anybody can go to a bowl, but they're very important.
Well, we'll speak to that for a moment because, the average fan, they hear this, right? They're like, oh, you get this extra time and it's really, really important. And a lot of guys look at this and they're thinking, well, it's only a couple of weeks. How important can that possibly be? Can you speak to that a little bit?
It's okay. So for instance, if you don't make a bowl game, those guys are going home. They're on vacation. They get to go do what they need to do, and they get some time off. But for the teams that are in a bowl game, you get to practice, for one, loosely, but you're learning. It's like anything else. It's like you get, if you're taking a test, and your test for the bowl game series is really not necessarily the bowl game. It's the first game of the next season. So now you have 2 to 3 weeks, depending on how this thing is, what bowl game you go to. You have more time to get better. You have more time to prep. You have more time to gel as a team. So you get all these things. You get guys healthy, things of that nature. So it all plays a part. Anytime, especially the way the rules are right now with limited practices and all that kind of stuff, you have an opportunity to just physically and mentally get better. So when you get extra time, it's just that's just the proven fact that you have an opportunity to get better, get healthy, and it takes you, because now you turn right back around after the holidays, you're back in practice. I mean, you're right back in practice in January. You're back in the weight room. You're back doing things. You're back scheming for new teams. You're back at it. And then you're really getting ready for spring. So really, you don't have much time off. And when you're a team playing late in the season within bowl games, so it all matters. That's why you'll hear coaches say all day long, we get a chance to get more practices. That's the thing. We get time to get more better, because due to the NCAA, once you get your allotment of practice, you're done. You have to wait a certain time before you get back to it. And believe it or not, people get rusty over that time. Some people show up out of shape. They show up, you got to start all over, things of that nature. You
It's
get
that
a
big
you get a late,
Christmas dinner, man.
yeah, you get a late bowl game. You might get a week a week solid off before you got to get back in the weight room and things of that nature. So that's what coaches mean, and that's what we mean by you get more time to get better as a unit.
You know what? One of the things that kind of stuck with me, and I wish I had remember which assistant coach had said this during Patterson's time here. They had said they kind of equated it to a mindset. It's like if you don't make a bowl game, you know, those guys go away, and that mindset of football goes, you know, and they're thinking, like you said, they're doing their own thing. They've got to handle their own business, and they're, you know, off with family, doing whatever they need to do, which is great for them. I understand the time, but when they get that extra time, it allows them to kind of stay in that mindset of football and in that mindset of grinding and learning and practicing and staying with it. Because like you said, in some cases, they may only have 1 week off if they make a bowl game, and then they're right back in it. So it doesn't give them a whole lot of time to kind of get out of that mindset for an extended period. And then when they come back, like you said, they're a little rusty, or you know, maybe they haven't hit the nutrition the way that they were supposed to, and the weight room the way that they were supposed to, because some of these guys don't have access to weight rooms when they go home. And so it is a bit of an issue. So it is a huge thing for TCU to come out against Oklahoma on Friday and win this game and become bowl eligible. Obviously, for a lot of the things that we were talking about from a fan's point of view, a lot of people are saying, is this a way to salvage this season? Well, obviously, you go from the national championship to just barely making a bowl. There are some questions here, but undoubtedly, for this team, for this group, making a bowl game is huge.
Well, you look at it like this, and fans can say what they want. You win this game, get into a decent bowl, play a decent team, you win that bowl, the season, everything's all good. Everything's all good. I mean, that's what it's about. National exposure, recruiting, things of that nature. So all that stuff matters. Kids are watching that. The atmosphere, because the thing about it, for those bowl games, you're the only, when they start, for the most part, you're the only bowl game on that day. So everybody's watching you. So you get a lot of eyes on you, get a lot of the program. They're talking about you for that day. And so from a program standpoint, it matters. It helps your program, helps your growth, it helps recruiting, it helps everything. So you definitely want to go versus not. I don't care how the season has come out. You know what I mean? You want to be in the limelight.
Well, for sure, on Friday, TCU, and you mentioned this before, TCU's got to get out to a good start. Cannot be playing from behind like they did with Texas. Granted, I mean, we went up 3-0 at the beginning of the game. But you know, playing from behind, especially in Norman, in a place where I don't think TCU has beaten a ranked Oklahoma in Norman since being in the Big 12. And so this is an opportunity for this team to do something that no other TCU team has done in the Big 12 era in order to become bowl eligible. And like you said before, there's nothing left after this week. So there's no reason to hold back. There's no reason not to give it your best. And it's a one game season at this point for these guys. And I hope we see them come out like we did against BYU, like they did against Baylor, like they did in the second half against Texas, and really continue to kind of grow as a team and do something that no TCU team in the era of the Big 12 has actually done.
And let's take into consideration, Oklahoma's arrogant enough to look towards the Big 12 championship. They're arrogant
Oh, yeah.
enough to look past us. So when you take that into consideration, and us giving our all, going in there playing our one game, in it, win and you're in type deal, all that stuff is going to matter. I can see an Oklahoma team doing that. And so, not saying they're not well coached and all that, but it just happens. It happens. Like, we're going to go in there. You know, these guys are, we're going to beat them, blah, 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 because they're already looking forward to playing a Texas or playing whoever in the Big 12 championship, which I think is Texas.
Yeah, it looks like
And
Texas at
so
this point.
it's going to look like it's going to be that. So I can, that all can play in our favor. So I really feel good about this week. If we, again, I go back to say it again, if the team we know that can show up and play good football for 4 quarters will show up, I believe that we can win, because even if we play, you know, two, three, I'll say 3 quarters, and Oklahoma comes in there and kind of craps the bed because they think that's a layup, we can still win that game. But I'll go back to just being a hard-nosed guy. We got to play 4 straight quarters to beat Oklahoma in Oklahoma. Point blank,
Oh.
period. All phases of the game, offense, defense, special teams, we have to go dominate.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can't, You can't sleep on these guys. You can't go three and out multiple series in a row. You've got to play them hard all four quarters in order to be able to win in that place. And it's going to be interesting to see. And I really do like a lot of the confidence that we've seen out of this offense over the last couple of weeks. I'd say the last, I don't know, seven quarters of play out of this offense, going back to the Texas game, we've seen some things out of some guys that we hadn't seen all season long. I mean, one of the things I didn't point out earlier on when we were talking about the Baylor game was Savion Williams. I mentioned, he obviously had a breakout game against Texas. That was great to see. And a lot of guys were like, well, what happened to him in the Baylor game? Well, a lot of the things that he did that were amazing in the Baylor game, you didn't see, but allowed Wiley to score both of his touchdowns. If Williams doesn't make that downfield block, Wiley doesn't have an 81-yard touchdown reception, the longest in his career. Here at TCU, if Williams doesn't make that block on the edge, he doesn't go in for the second touchdown either. If Williams isn't blocking that guy, you're not seeing, Hoover run in for the score. Williams has really come on strong. And I honestly think that now when you have both Wiley and Williams and Richardson now getting into the mix as well, that is going to cause a lot of problems for the secondary at Oklahoma, especially with the way that Hoover is able to actually pinpoint these balls. And I agree with you. I think we're going to see some pretty good football on Friday. And I think we're going to see an offense that's going to kind of come alive. And the defense, it's going to come down to the defense, right?
It
They're going
really
to have to
is.
make big stops against this Oklahoma offense. And it really just depends if Gabriel is in or not, as far as whether or not this defense is going to have the kind of success in four quarters. And they can't wait a quarter and a half to finally figure things out. They're going to have to do it from the very first snap.
Well, great point. And I've said this before on the show, and this is an old saying, but it's so true. If everybody does their 111th, just like
Oh,
you
yeah.
just that thought of, when you were saying Williams and they're making their blocks, making these plays, see, there's not no glory in that, but there's success in it. And the bottom line is, when you do your job, be it blocking, be it backside, but whatever, and you don't allow guys to get to the football because you're blocking downfield, that matters. It matters every play. So you can't take any plays off. Everybody will they'll just do their job, one-on-one battles across the field. We'll win the game. We'll win the game. If everybody focuses on their job, and that's the hard part about football, when you slip in the secondary and you think he got this man and I got this man, and you let somebody run free, well, now you don't have 11 people doing their job. We have to focus on your job, your responsibility, and let the chips fall where they may. And I believe the chips will fall on our side.
Yeah, and I agree. And on the defensive side, we've got some young corners, and we've seen young corners over the years at TCU have rough first seasons on the field, right? And have come back and become NFL draft picks.
Oh,
And
yeah.
it always it's there's always one game that you can pinpoint and kind of go, you know what? That's when Trey became a shutdown corner, right? Or and you can go down the list. And I think that this is the time for these guys to really kind of buckle down and have one of those games. I think they're on the cusp of being able to do that. A lot of the passes, they were two blown, I would say, coverages that happened against Baylor last week that were pretty bad. But again, fortunate for us, receivers just couldn't make the catch. But even on the catch on that third and long in the Texas game that sealed the game for Texas, it was well defended. The receiver just made an unbelievable adjustment and was able to make the catch. So I think the cornerbacks are coming along. I think they're going to do well. And again, it depends on who's going to play quarterback for Oklahoma. So I think if the defense doesn't have to wait a half to make adjustments against Oklahoma, and the offense gets going, and it doesn't become some sort of a shootout in Norman, we've got a great chance of coming down and winning this game. So Shannon, we're coming to
Agreed.
the end of the podcast, so let's talk predictions. What do you think the final score is going to be on Friday?
Well, I'll tell you, I think it's going to be high scoring. What I'm thinking is probably low scoring. What I think will happen, I think it'll be 31-37. I'm going to go TCU, obviously. We may get
Okay.
into the we may get a little, we may get into the 40s because if the defense is, I think we'll play. I just think it's, I think it'll be high scoring, but I'm going to go 31-37 right now, TCU. and we win that ball game again, we're going to have to make field goals. We're going to have to, we're going to have to do, have some decent punt returns. We're going to have great field position for Hoover. The crowd will be hyped. That's a given, right? With Oklahoma, we just have to go in and block all that out. Tunnel vision, play our style of football, have a great week of practice, and go in there and know we can win that ball game. I got us winning.
Yeah, I like oh, 6-point spread. I like that. I kind of feel the same way. I think we're going to be in the 30s at this point, but I'm going to say 38-27 TCU
Yeah.
on this one. I think the first couple of quarters are going to be a little shaky. I expect, probably 17 points out of Oklahoma in the first half, another 10 in the second half. But I think Hoover's going to get them going pretty quick. And my hope is he takes the crowd out of it. Because you're right,
Yeah.
that you've played there before. That crowd in that stadium gets crazy. And it not just from the sound level, just the freaking things the fans throw on the field at you all the
They're
time,
right on
right?
top of you. So, I mean, they're right on top of you.
Yeah.
They're right there. There's not room between their wall and your bench. They're right on top of you. So you're right. The crowd's gonna, you take them out of it. That's a win for us. Take them out. And so I think we can do it. I think the guys will be up for the game. I'm shooting on that side of things, a good week of practice, confidence, got a game plan, all those things. Everybody's gonna do their job. And I think Oklahoma will maybe come in a little underestimating us, and we'll hit them in the mouth, and we'll see what happens in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I expect the first half. Hopefully, we go up 24-17 going into halftime, and like I said, roll to 38-24 kind of a win, and it's going to be an interesting game. And I think it's going to be one of those that is. I think we're going to be happy with the result after Friday, and there's going to be a lot of performances that we can kind of point to and go, okay, where has that been all season long? I'm glad it finally
Yeah,
showed up. But
no doubt.
where has that been? Like we've
Yeah.
been saying the last couple of weeks with a lot of these guys. So it's going to be an interesting one. I hope everyone kind of, stocks up on their turkey on Thursday and get ready for a good day of football for TCU in Norman against the top 25 ranked Oklahoma Sooners. It's going to be a good one. And these guys certainly, I hope they win and get to that bowl game because what we've seen over the last few weeks of these guys, they certainly deserve it. Well, Shannon, appreciate you joining us tonight. And that is the end of the podcast. I want to thank everybody who's out there listening to us. Of course, you can find the podcast on all the major podcast networks. You can find us on Apple and Google and Amazon now, Amazon Podcasts, as well as Spotify. And of course, you can go to killerfrogs.com. You can sign up for a free account and let us know what you think the prediction is going to be for Friday. Of course, you can follow along on the game thread on Friday if you aren't able to make it up to Norman. And of course, with that, we've come to the end of the podcast. And it's the time where we get our frogs up and we get to say,
Go
Go
Frogs.
Frogs.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. God bless.
Happy Thanksgiving.